A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios from East River 9. It's Paul Gallant.
That ball hit pretty well to right field. Tucker will watch this one. Deybert Ruiz kept spoiling two strike pitches and hits one out to right. Did he ever?
And the season is over. What a disgrace. What a disgrace last night. Am I lashing out irrationally because it took me 40 minutes to get around a bleeping train that's right outside East River 9? Maybe, but guess what, guys? It is a Friday. Got to get down on Friday on the Paul Gallant Show here at East River 9. At least East River 9 is amazing. Beautiful views, as always. The best view of downtown Houston, I think, in the city. We're going to be here until noon. Then the Killer Bees are going to be here. The Wheelhouse is going to be here. This place is fantastic. And yeah, it's a little hot outside. Maybe you're like me. You've mastered the game of golf. You don't even play it anymore. There's a bar. That's what I have yet to master. The sport of sitting at a bar all day on a Friday. Can I go from 10 until 2 a.m.? It is a great question. And someday I will take up that challenge and I will emerge victorious. But last night's Astros 4-1 loss to the Washington Nationals, it's embarrassing. That's really all you have to say. I mean, you should have swept them. We have to have standards here. We have to hold the Astros to that standard. And yeah, I know. There's what, like 90 games left? Something like that.
Plenty of season left. They're only 3.5 games back in the Texas Rangers. Blah, 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 blah.
But come on, it's the effing Nationals. 10 strikeouts? 1 run? 1 extra base hit? I mean, it took Yiner Diaz coming into the game and giving you a run batted in the 9th inning for you to even send it to extra innings. And I mean, hell, technically, you lost the series because the umpire bailed the Astros out on Wednesday night. Talk about Spin Zone by Paul Gallant. Yeah, I just cucked the Killer Bees. Killer Bees are coming in here thinking that they're going to be the ones swinging the big old stick around. Nope. Beat them to that because that's what I do. Here's my question for you guys on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Who's to blame for last night's Astros loss? Wrong answers only. Because we should have a little bit of fun with this, right? A little bit. I'm sure there's a bunch of, oh my God, fire dusty texts on the text line right now. 713-780-3776 is how you text in. You can also get after us in our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or tweet me at Gallant, says at Sean A. Mapes, back at Mission Control. Sean, who would you blame for this failure of an Astros loss, ruining their homestand, which they now get an F for, even if they finish on it 9-1?
I blame. Can I say we're a victim of our own success? I blame. That's a good one. I blame the standards. We're winning 2 out of 3. It's
we set too high standards for ourselves. Yeah, the problem.
We're the Tiger Moms of the Astros fan base.
Yes, exactly. It happens from time to time.
Oh, didn't you get straight A's? What's this B minus crap? Yeah.
Yeah. See, Sean, and you know, I've had this conversation before with you, like about what makes a good father, right? Now, you know, I was listening to The Bench on the way in, and you know, it's Father's Day weekend for the two of them, but like the very, like, casual way they were talking about this Astros makes me wonder about them. It makes me wonder, okay? Because when your child gets a B-, you need to lock them in the cupboard under the stairs. Everyone knows this. Have you read the Harry Potter books? Was Harry Potter not a very gifted student at Hogwarts because the Dursleys locked him under the cupboard, under the stairs? Yes, that's the answer. And right now, we need to make the Astros sleep outside in the doghouse, even though they're humans.
You have to ask, what would Baby Gronk's dad do in this
situation?
Yeah.
What would Baby Gronk's dad do? And not only would he tell the Astros what to say in an interview that would make them seem as cringe as possible, but he probably also make them run suicides in the backyard until they puke.
Another. Another.
Like he's Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle. Or in the Miracle on Ice. Okay, who's to blame? Wrong answers only. I saw some people blaming Dusty Baker, and of course, I mean, thanks Dusty is the new thanks Obama. Thanks Biden. It is. Is it fair? I don't know. I mean, the Astros offense, come on. It's the Nationals. The Nationals stink. The Nationals are bad, and I mean, you just got to have more hits against them. I don't know if I can quite blame Dusty for it. I think it's Mike Mitchell, who's a good follow for Astros Twitter, said, like, why are you DHing Corey Jolks for Yiner Diaz? And Diaz comes in to pinch hit, and he gets a hit. Sort of an indictment on him. And then, I mean, you're pinch hitting Mauricio Dubon for Jake Myers a little bit later. And Martin Maldonado is getting the start. Like, those are three to look at. But I also think you could take a look at the actual bullpen itself, and two guys in particular. Ryan Presley's ERA on the year is 3.49. And if you take a look at the way that Presley is pitched in the month of June, a man who was born in Dallas, by the way, his ERA this month is 4.5. Is he in the Elvis Presley peanut butter, bacon, banana sandwich era of his life with a little cocaine sprinkled on the top? He might be. A lot of people think that it was the coke that led to Elvis Presley dying on the toilet because his guts got all stopped up. And then, boom, can't pass those sandwiches. Those sandwiches sound good, by the way, right? And I'm not saying Presley's in that era. All I'm saying is that Ryan Presley isn't quite the same. What is it? I don't know. I saw Chandler Rome was suggesting he's relying too much on his slider. One of my buddies texted me last night and said his fastball doesn't have the same oomph. Well, maybe that's why he's relying on his slider and the way that he is. But Presley, since jumping on the bench, it has not been good. It has not been good. Now, you had, of course, Wednesday with just the error palooza, but you also saw him give up a couple of hits there. None of those were earned runs. It's pretty awesome if you're a pitcher. You could, like, throw a ball away at home plate, and, like, technically that error, like, doesn't count against your earned run average. But, again, that wasn't what set up the Nationals for all those runs that they were able to score in the ninth inning where the Astros had a 4-1 lead and then they blew it. And then on top of that, you had Phil Maton come into the game. And I want you guys to listen closely. Here is Phil Maton walking a Nationals batter with the bases loaded.
And that's upstairs, ball four. That'll walk in a run. Four-pitch walk after Maton threw only one pitch out of the zone to the first four batters.
Maton said something along the way there. You might have been able to pick it up. And I always was of the belief that Maton shows no emotion when he's out on the mound. The Astros bullpen is still pretty good. I think the real question that you just have to ask yourself going forward about the bullpen is it going to be as awesome as it was last year? And with the offense the way that it is right now, where they are in the middle of the pack or towards the bottom of the pack in a lot of major statistical categories, is this going to actually pick up? I mean, right now you are really looking to have Jose Abreu carry you. He wasn't able to do that last night. You are, for whatever reason, not playing Yiner Diaz every single day and not playing Mauricio Dubon every single day. I just don't get that. I get that Dusty Baker's obsessed with the outfield rotation, but put your best players out there. And defense is really overrated, I think, in baseball. It's overrated. Maybe I'm simplistic when it comes to this stuff, but Dusty puts way too much thought into who's out there playing defense. I don't know. When I was growing up watching the Boston Red Sox, the Red Sox did not care much about defense. They were playing David Ortiz at first base sometimes. They were playing Manny Ramirez in the outfield at all. I don't care how short that field is at Fenway Park. Left field with Manny Ramirez in it was a disaster waiting to happen at all times. Defense is not as important as the Astros seem to make it out to be. Put your best hitters out there. And I think it was Michael Schwab who had posted something that was called out by another person who, like, live SCS or something like that, about how when Montero's being caught by Maldonado, his ERA is significantly different. Like, it's good versus when he's getting caught by Diaz, it's a disaster. But, I mean, are we really telling ourselves that Maldonado has that much of an impact behind the plate, that the pitching is only going to work if Maldonado's there? You got to put more bats out there. There's no Yordan Alvarez. This seems like common sense stuff to me. But wrong answers only. Why did the Astros lose to the Nationals last night? Is the season over? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. I want wrong answers only. Also, the next member of the Houston Astros is trying his best to help them get back in first place. Who am I talking about? You'll find out next. Paul Gallant Show.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We're at East River 9 in the bar area. This is a nice bar. It's got a beautiful view of downtown Houston.
Oh, it's too hot.
Listen, this isn't even hot, first of all. RJ's making a face at me. This isn't hot. This is July. This is not even July. Check that. This is June. This isn't July or August. It gets worse. It gets worse, RJ's like, I can't deal with this. What, is Jacksonville nowhere close to this? Yeah, that's what I thought. You lived in Florida. Come on. It's a beautiful day outside. Beautiful. And if you don't think so, you're just soft. It's fine. Some of us are high school football legends, and others aren't. Right? Anyway, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, I did ask, who's to blame for the Astros' loss last night? Wrong answers only. One text. Bregman, Mr. Ofer. Abreu, Mr. Ofer. No Dubon, so it's Dusty. Why no pinch-hit Diaz for Maldi in the eighth? Why did Diaz just start? How about that? Let's just start with that one. Another texter. Because Cody stopped eating hot dogs in the extra innings. Was Cody there? Interesting. Hot dogs are only good at a ballpark, I think. Generally, I would look for other options, right? I mean, it's entirely reliant on the toppings that you put on it. But again, I'm a bit bougie when it comes to the food I eat. I refuse to eat Taco Bell. I've only eaten Taco Bell once in my life. Another text, because the roof wasn't open. Yes, I like that. Let's start being the New York Yankees and blaming the stadium that the Astros have control over for their shortcomings. It's Orbit's fault. Yeah, Orbit, look, I get it. You know, you want to have a space creature or something like that. Orbit does kind of look like he would be very, very easily murdered, right? Like, he looks a little too cuddly. I feel like the Astros should just call George Lucas, throw some cheddar, and make Darth Vader the mascot. They're evil, at least in the eyes of many across baseball. Darth Vader's from space. He was an Astro in a galaxy a long time ago, far, far away. All right, so at the very least, the Astros did not lose any ground on the Texas Rangers in the American League West. We'll tell you why with the most recent episode of Rangers Watch. And I really want Sean to just listen to the end of the new open for Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a Ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the Ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
'Cause that's where the Ranger's gonna be.
Oh, dang. I thought I sent a new one in. Okay, well, we'll eventually play the show clip that has the best part of Walker, Texas Ranger ever in. But in last night's game, Shohei Ohtani went yard once again for the Los Angeles Angels, and he helped give the Angels a win.
Uh-oh. And Ohtani hits this one in the air to center field. That ball is well hit, and it's his fourth home run of the series. And his 22nd of the year. A two-run shot to center field. And the Angels extend the lead to 5-2.
So the Angels take 2 of 3 from Texas. They win that one 5-3. last night, and maybe they're a team that the Astros have to be at the very least wary of. I know that the Astros had their way with them the last time that they played, but LA, 39-32, is just a game back, technically, of the Astros in the AL West. It's a couple of games in hand, so it's not exactly like it's a true, authentic, the season ends today, this is how it would go down, but they're hanging around, they're playing well. I would love them to make Shohei Ohtani an Astro next year. Just 1 year, like $70 million. I don't think he'd say no to that. 1 year, $70 million, and he's going to play for a winning team. He can be like Kevin Durant. He gets his championship, and then he goes elsewhere. I like the idea. Don't even tell me about the budget. Don't tell me about the odds. Just make it happen. Meanwhile, in the AL West, the Oakland A's are definitely moving to Las Vegas now. We saw a story yesterday where the A's were able to get funding for the $1.5 billion stadium with a retractable roof that they have proposed. It would, per the people that are backing it, help establish Vegas as the new entertainment and sports capital of the world. $380 million in taxpayer money for this $1.5 billion stadium. I'm wondering where the A's are going to get the, I don't know, $1.1 billion to pay for that stadium, given how broke, flat broke those losers are. But anyway, before we look at John Fisher, the owner of the A's, I think we got to look at Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. So Manfred held, it seemed like some sort of State of the Union press conference talking about all sorts of themes across the sport. And he was asked about keeping baseball in Oakland and was pretty direct in criticizing what he thinks has been a half-assed effort by Oakland to actually keep baseball in the city.
I think that the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. Okay, I mean, they never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just John Fisher. You don't build a stadium based on the club activity alone. The community has to provide support. And, you know, at some point you come to the realization it's just not going to happen.
Meet Shield Manfred has a lot of balls saying this. And there's going to be posturing on both sides here, but the Oakland mayor's office said this in rebuttal to what you just heard from Manfred right here. Quote, "This is totally false. The reality is A's ownership insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail space. In Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem satisfied with a 9-acre leased ballpark on leased land." Damn. That's a pretty good comeback as far as politicians go. Manfred, for his part, though, is just, I almost respect how much of an a-hole he is being here. He was also asked about the reverse boycott that the A's did. Listen to what he had to say.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
It's a great thing. There's so much sarcasm in his voice right there.
I love that. I love that so much. I mean, like, obviously he's being a giant D-bag, but like...
Right.
But because it's like basically what you'd see like from like a troll account, like on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like,
seriously,
nice job, losers.
I gotta say, like, this is what a lot of Astros fans have been doing to Yankees fans and, yes, A's fans not too long ago, and pretty much any fan base that claps, Mariners fans in particular. And this is Rob Manfred, the meat shield, going above and beyond with a hammer to the hearts of every single A's fan there. He said it was an above-average crowd. He didn't even say it was a good crowd.
No, I think he said almost an average crowd.
Almost an average crowd. Damn, man.
But, I mean, by like the numbers, I guess that's true. Because it was like 27,000.
We're supposed to hate Manfred because of all the, you know, things that happened to the Houston Astros and the lack of a full investigation into the other teams, right? I mean, they only looked at the Astros. They did not look at the Dodgers. They did not look at the Yankees. They sort of looked at the Red Sox. That's the main reason to not like them. There's a little bit of hypocrisy. The integrity of the game is at stake. Oh, in just one city, not the entirety of the sport? So, we don't like them, but I do like that. I we'll talk about it a little bit later. Baseball needs more of this. There are not nearly enough figures in the sport that make you hate them. Like the Yankees as a brand over all time, everyone hates them that's outside of New York City. Especially if you've dealt with one of those just absolutely disgusting pieces of trash with, you know, the wife beater shirt, the Jorge Posada jersey, the knockoff chain across their chest, the backwards hat, probably a haircut that makes them look like Vin Diesel before he went cue ball. It's this look that they have. They're the worst. But you also have a lot of people across baseball that hate us, people who follow the Astros. The Astros. After that, like, who does anyone really hate? Right? Like, it's not a sport that's found a way to create more than an emotion of appreciation. There's nothing else. So if Manfred keeps doing this, I actually think it's good for the sport. Because otherwise, it's umpires. But, like, Angel Hernandez isn't even in the equation really anymore as far as villains across baseball. 713-780-3776 to call. To text in as well. You can tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, back at Mission Control. Coming up next, it's the 10-minute drill. The Texans don't have any leaks anymore? What's up with that? And is DeAndre Hopkins using me? We'll discuss. Don't go anywhere.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Guys, there's 83 days until the kickoff of the NFL season. I know our Twitch is thrilled about it, and I love to make them mad by talking about football, America's game. 83 days. Aren't you excited? CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans. By the way, in an interview with the flagship, I got a kick out of this comment. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair were asked about the lack of discussion about what the Texans plan to do before the draft. Said Hannah, quote, "This place used to be like Swiss cheese. We had holes everywhere." Part of what we've been doing over the last couple of years is plugging the holes. Okay. But also getting better. It's satisfying to see what you know, where to keep the circle and keep it tight. I think that's what you've seen, and it's satisfying. Gotta say, I doubt we're going to have many people breaking news stories in Houston when it comes to the Texans in the near future. I think that it's changed with not just Hannah McNair taking, I think, a more proactive role with ownership, but also with Casario and Ryans. I think that these two guys actually have agendas that are aligned for now. When leaks do start coming out, that would be a sign that there is unhappiness. And I know that there were some rumors about how Nick Casario maybe would leave, would go back to New England a couple of weeks ago. Months ago. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I thought it was interesting to see that. Especially because, really, there's only one team in town where it seems like there's any leaks at all. It's the Rockets. It's the Rockets who are like, yeah, we take James Harden back. Yeah, we made a phone call about Zion Williamson. Yeah, we'd make a phone call about Ja Morant, who, by the way, the news today, suspended for 25 games. It's kind of difficult to figure out what the hell they're suspending him for. It's more of a body of work thing. Is Ja going to figure himself out after a 25-game suspension? I'm not sure, but it's probably for the best if Ja Morant stays not too far away from the team so that he stops driving down the street pretending he's playing Grand Theft Auto. Anyway, to go back to this, the Texans also said that we don't play retired numbers. and there's only a couple of teams in the league that have a policy against that, the Cowboys, which I was surprised to hear, the Raiders, Falcons, and Ravens. So they're not going to do it with J.J. Watt. I hope that the Ring of Honor has nobody else other than Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt as far as Texans that have actually played, because no one else is on level with those guys. DeAndre Hopkins is the only one that's close. I guess you could make a case for Arian Foster if you really wanted to, but neither of those guys were here long enough, I think, to make that actually happen. But as far as retired numbers across sports, I do think it was interesting to just take a look across some of the teams. Now, as far as the Astros go, it's weird because they're going to have to make some tough decisions in a couple of years. Altuve's number is definitely going to be retired, 27. But who else do you retire for the stretch that we've seen? Who else actually gets that honor? Like, it's not going to be Correa. It's not going to be George Springer. It's not going to be Verlander. Is Alex Bregman going to get that honor? I don't know. And the guys that they've retired all-time, Bagwell, Biggio, Jimmy Winn, who's 24, Jose Cruz, 25, Jim Umbricht, 32, the Mike Scott, my guy, 33, Nolan Ryan, 34, Don Wilson, 40, and Larry Durker, 49, plus you've obviously got Jackie Robinson, 42. I wonder. Dallas Keuchel's not there. Lance McCullers would want it. He would probably lobby for it. I don't think he's getting it. Ryan Presley? They got to stop playing Johnny Cash when he comes out. I think that's his penance for this 4.5 ERA he has this month. Yordan, there's a chance. But I think otherwise, you're going to be hard-pressed. And it's an interesting thing to think about. As someone who grew up a Patriots fan, like, they haven't retired anybody's number from the Super Bowl years yet. Like, no one. I'm sure they'll do it with Tom Brady, but the last guy that they retired the number of was Bruce Armstrong. That was 2001. It's interesting when you have a run like this, who you actually end up retiring the numbers of. So will be interesting to see down the road. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Sean McDermott said the Bills and Stephon Diggs are in a great spot. Sure didn't sound that way earlier this week. Josh Allen sounded whipped. Yeah, we have some miscommunication issues. Yeah, I think that Stephon Diggs is just a diva, man. It's okay. I think we all are on the same page on this front. What is he mad about? Not getting the ball enough? Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, I'm wondering if what DeAndre Hopkins has been doing over the last 24 to 48 hours is trying to get the Bills' attention. It's the equivalent of a thirst trap. Girls maybe like borderline single, but not quite single. All of a sudden, like, oh, I was working out my back and arms today. And it's like a picture of her bent over in the mirror at the gym. The game is the game. I get it. But I feel like that's what DeAndre Hopkins was doing by posting a selfie of himself with Matthew Judon in the Patriots locker room yesterday. I feel like he's trying to get the Bills and the Chiefs to come back with a last offer. He said he's going to take his time to make a decision about whether or not he joins the Patriots. There's optimism that exists on that front. And supposedly, the relationship between he and Bill O'Brien is not irreparable. We'll see on that front. Largo, by the way, twitch.tv/ESPN975 says Tony Banks. E315 says Tony Banks should be in the Ring of Honor. Tony Banks was a legendary fumbler of the football. Largo says the energy grass turf should be in the Ring of Honor. Better at stopping opposing teams than any Texans player has been. Stopped a lot of Texans, too, though. Right? Stopped Brett Hartman, the punter. Stopped D'Amico Ryans. Might have ended D'Amico Ryans' career when he was with the Eagles. I think it stopped Wes Welker. Definitely stopped the beginning of Jadeveon Clowney's career. Yeah, NRG Stadium, pallet grass. How about that? Derek Carr, fan favorite of the Paul Gallant show, he apologized to the Las Vegas Raiders for his last season there last year. He's now with the New Orleans Saints. I actually had to think for a moment during the build-up to today's show about, wait, where the hell is Derek Carr now? Oh, yeah, he's not with Vegas anymore. Said Carr, they just didn't get my best, and that drove me crazy at the end of the year because I felt so spread out in so many ways. I just didn't feel like myself, and I feel bad for the Raiders coaches and players. Because for those who don't know, Carr, who was raised in Bakersfield, California, and I guess did live in Sugar Land for a little bit, he has developed some sort of accent. I don't know if it's like California country. I don't know if it's a little Texas twang. I don't know if he watched Varsity Blues too many times growing up. I really do not know why it is that Derek Carr sounds the way that he does. But Derek Carr, very sensitive guy, has himself an accent. Sean Mapes, did I read that line with the appropriate emotion for Derek Carr? I felt like the accent was about as subtle as his. I wasn't going foghorn, leghorn like I do from time to time. Do you feel like I captured the essence of Derek Carr there?
Yeah, in my head, he's always crying at the podium. So, like, I could have used a little bit more of the they just did get my best and, like, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I think for the most part,
like,
that was
good. Didn't get my best.
It drove me crazy. And at the end of the year, I felt so spread out.
I was so spread out this past year. It was so hard in Las Vegas being there with all that temptation and all that eyeshadow on my face. When I was giving myself a nice little cry after the game, every now and then, just didn't look my best either. Those colors do run, the colors I wear underneath my eyes. By the way, there was a story from a couple of days ago about Tom Brady at a wedding. Tom Brady is single at this moment in time. Irina Shayk, I'm not sure if she's back together with Bradley Cooper. I think she was married to Bradley Cooper for a bit. But Tom Brady was at a swanky wedding between two people I've never heard of, Joe Namath and Madison Hedrick. And there was a report that Irina Shayk was throwing herself, quote, throwing herself at Tom Brady. She and her team put out a very, very adamant denial of this. I don't know. Tom Brady, I feel like he's still pulling it. She clarified the situation about getting friendly with Giselle's ex-husband, saying, "This story is completely false. It is a totally malicious and fictional account of the evening." A source close to Shayk informed DailyMail.com that the duo are just friends. Shayk has also dated Cristiano Ronaldo and Kanye West, and again, the source was reporting she scarcely let Brady out of her sight while celebrating this. He's a billionaire art heir. God, I just want to kill myself. Some of the things that people make money over. You're an art heir. I mean, like, talk about lack of talent.
Does that mean they're the, like, sole inheritor of?
Of, like, paintings, I guess. Or, like, maybe an art exhibit? So,
yeah, is it of someone who is... It's not someone who is an artist. It is someone who collects art, and therefore their net worth is high, and he's
something
the son
like that.
Of that person?
Yeah. So he's the son of somebody who bought a lot of stuff, and he inherits all of it.
So stupid. And Tom Brady's at his wedding. So
yeah, I know, I want to die. It's like the worst. It's just like, hey, this is what you'll never be.
The whole art world.
A billionaire art heir.
The whole art world is just, I hate it so much.
I know, I do too.
I don't even hate it. It's just like, I
no, look down, I hate it.
I look down upon, I'm like, you are all money launderers, criminals. All the bad things in the world, happen to you and you alone.
You know who collects art in Houston that's sometimes relevant to Houston sports? Tony Busby.
That tank was cool, though. Is that art?
See, the tank is better art than probably anything they bought. I'm with you. Some of the things that people say, ooh, it's art. I'm like, is it?
No, that's a banana taped to a wall. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, look, it's me. I'm Banksy. I'm a rascal. Sometimes the things I give you, they'll just break all of a sudden. I'm a trickster.
Get it?
Oh, okay.
Get it? The rat is a rat, and the bags of money is capitalism. Get it? Yeah, got it, Banksy. Thanks.
We'll do another show on the art. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. From the 281, do the Patriots get a spot in the Ring of Honor since they've won both the Super Bowls at NRG Stadium? That's from Brandon. I didn't ask that question, but I agree. The retractable roof repairman should also be the Texans Ring of Honor, says another texter from the 409. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, we had some soccer action last night. It's always fun to see the U.S. beat the bejesus out of Mexico, which they did 3-0. But that wasn't the biggest story coming out of it. Plus, some more thoughts on John Morant's 25-game suspension. It's the Paul Galacho.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The sarcastic nominees to the Houston Texans Ring of Honor keep coming in. Largo at twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, Brittany Norwood, the Texans Ring of Honor. Yeah, that was the lady that had a steamy affair with Arian Foster. I once saw her on one of the dating apps. I swiped right. It was not reciprocated. I was very sad about that. Also nominated, Isaiah Carey of Fox 26 for the driveway interview. Arian Foster hated local media over that stretch because there was that. There was the time that everyone got pissed off at him because he kept on saying, yeah, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, which I thought was really funny. And all the sports media here in Houston got so indignant about it. Guys, that was more relevant than anything he was going to say, him making that viral video for you. But people didn't understand how viral works back in, what, 2014? I think I remember doing an episode of Sports Talk Live on CSN Houston that day. And I remembered, I think I called James Harden a douche on TV. And I remember whoever was running the show like apologized profusely. And then I was defending Arian Foster during the video. And I was like, I'm not going to get welcomed back. And I did. Because you know what? They saw something in me. My pretty face. That's it. What else do we have here? Dave Ragone should be considered for the Texans Ring of Honor. Nice. How about Chris Brown? You know, I was only aware of the Texans from afar when I was in college because of Chris Brown, and it would generally be because at the end of a game, Chris Brown would be lining up for a field goal and he'd shank it. those are the Schaub years, I think, like the heart of the Schaub years. What else do we have? Really quickly, the statement released by the NBA about Ja Morant, the explanation for his 25-game suspension, I don't think it's a great explanation because it's blaming the gun incidents. It's saying that's the reason. Talks about the live stream video May 13th after he was suspended 8 games without pay for the live streaming of a video on March 4th with a firearm. It's legitimately just two videos that they're suspending him 25 games for. One of which he was intoxicated with a gun. The other, you don't know what he was with a gun. Both of them, I would imagine the IRA's looking at the handling of the guns in both situations and is like, not the IRA, the NRA. Irish Republican Army's like, you know what, let's hire Ja. That'd be great. But the NRA is probably like, okay, this is bad. This isn't helping us out. But I think that in this situation, this suspension should be more than about that. It should be more than about the guns. It should be about the fact that Ja was in a pickup basketball game with the teenager, punched the teenager 13 times, went back inside, got the gun, and brought that out. That's not even mentioned here. Or any of the other incidents that have taken place with Ja Morant. And they only cite these two, and they give him a 25-game suspension. I don't think the 25-game suspension is going to help him learn. If you think that he's going to change his behavior, you have two ways to go about it. Force him to do counseling every single day of a week and I guess not suspend him at all, but that wouldn't look good. They had to punish him in some way, I guess, just to look like they are tough on certain players, which is clearly, I think, a bit of a reach. The other thing that they should have done, though, would be to say, like, hey, we're suspending him for all of these things. Just the gun stuff, which is dumb, in my opinion, is dumb. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The U.S. beat Mexico 3-0 last night in the CONCACAF Nations semifinal. They did whatever they wanted. And it was really awesome to see what Christian Pulisic was doing. Did you see how awesome he was? He nearly did it all on his own, just running down the left sideline in the 22nd minute. He had another shot on goal in the 25th. He scored in the 36th minute. This was the first goal, how it sounded, on Paramount Plus. What a pain in the ass it was to watch that game last night.
And he's brought down just outside of the area. Referee saw nothing wrong with it. But on the follow-up, Pulisic makes no mistake. This time he finishes. Just before the halftime break, the U.S. takes the lead.
So they take the lead right there, and that's where Mexico started to play dirty. There was a moment a little bit later where they tried to take Pulisic out, like it was on the left sideline again. And then right after halftime in the 46th minute, the U.S. scored again, and it was off to the races. This game was over.
Look out, it's a wonderful ball from Weston McKennie to find Tim Weah. Option streaking into the area. Pulisic back post! He's got a second!
So those two things happen, and you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? Well, it got really chippy in the 59th minute. So some guy on Mexico named Montes kicked a U.S. player from behind. He legitimately just wound up and kicked him in the back of the left heel and took him out. And it turned into an actual brawl, as far as you'll see brawls, on a soccer field. Like, the play was stopped for a while. There's a reason they had 12 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the game. Weston McKennie, who plays for the U.S. team, his shirt was basically ripped all the way off. He also got a red. It was kind of funny to see him trolling the largely Mexico fan crowd at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas for this game. It got even chippier after that. I think the cool thing out of this is that the U.S. has not lost to Mexico since 2019, and they, even with all of the issues at manager, I guess Greg Berhalter is going to come back, but he wasn't there for 6 months. There was some interim coaching stuff going on. Even with all the drama that they're going through right now, they have a clear leg up on Mexico, which is awesome. I don't think any of us thought we would see that anytime soon, and I guess these are the baby steps that you take as far as eventually being a world power. Again, the European soccer is so much better, and also I would say, you know, Brazil, Argentina, like still light years away. But hey, the U.S. at least making progress. But this all is a sideshow, the way Mexico acted, how dominant the U.S. was in this game, to what happened that ended the game 5 minutes early. For those who are unfamiliar with the Mexican national team, whenever the opposing team has a goal kick, they do a group cheer. I'll let you hear it on the air because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it. This is the fans' fault.
And he was ready for it. That match, I believe, has been called. Indeed, it has. It's a resounding 3-0 victory for the United States with two goals by Pulisic and one by Ricardo Pepi.
So I'm not going to say it. I don't think I'm allowed to. What I do know is that word that you heard from the Mexico crowd is the masculine form of the same word, meaning prostitute in Spanish. It's used as a slur against people who are gay and an insult to anyone perceived as weak or contemptible. But it does seem like it's just different in another country culturally as far as how much they care about that word versus us. And is it a bad look? Probably in 2023, to us especially. But for them, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. I think it was a couple of years ago, Oswaldo Sanchez, who used to be a stopper for Mexico, he shrugged it off. It made me laugh. I don't see it as homophobic or offensive. Mexican people understand the word is used to have fun. Some supporters have defended the word, saying free speech, cultural context, and hypocrisy from FIFA. So this game ended with 5 minutes left, and CONCACAF said that it wasn't abandoned due to the chance, but some people were saying that, yeah, that was the reason it happened. I think PA guy at Allegiant Stadium was trying to get the people to stop. Look, you tell someone to stop doing a chant, they're not going to stop the chant. Like, that just doesn't happen. There used to be an NFL rule where if the crowd got too loud, the home team would actually get penalized. It's a very weird rule. I don't know why they... And imagine, like, a referee telling you, you need to be quiet, otherwise we're going to penalize you. I think John Elway would regularly bitch and moan to the referee so that he would have calls in his favor for that. Makes you wonder about him as an all-time player. Anyway, to come back to this, people have been trying to stop it for years. FIFA's fined them 15 times plus for $250,000 plus. They forced them to play in front of no fans a couple of times. Mexican players have done PSAs trying to tell people to stop it. So maybe it's a bad look. Here's my only take on it. FIFA has had its last two World Cups in Russia, who hates gay people, and in Qatar, where it's illegal to be gay. And you know, to go back into like to where we draw the line when it comes to morality in sports, this is a little bit different than the PGA and the LIV Golf Tour, with all money in some way, shape, or form being dirty, being acquired through some sort of suffering. I think it's funny that in that situation, there were so many people drawing a line as far as what money's good and what money's bad. In this situation, I don't think that the fans that are at these games are saying that word because they think a specific player is gay. I am with this random fan and that ex-Mexican stopper as far as, like, I don't think that's the intent. It's a thing that is done for fun. Should I feel good about it? I don't know. I mean, a lot of people on this show think I'm gay as it is, so... This isn't me defending them or anything like that, but, I mean, this was the headline on ESPN as opposed to the U.S. beating the hell out of Mexico and Mexico looking disheveled and completely disorganized in that game. Like, Mexico looked like amateurs out there. They really did. And, I mean, you still recognize some of the players from back in the day, but they've fallen very hard. Instead, the story was about how the game ended 5 minutes early due in stoppage time, and some are saying it was due to the chant. I don't know. I think it might have had more to do with the fact that the game was getting out of hand, too, but... Is this really the stuff that FIFA needs to be focusing on? One of the most corrupt organizations in international sports, they're going to focus on this, but they're not going to focus on themselves. I wonder about it. I do. And I'm curious as to what you guys think about it. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on the HRNP listener line. You can get after us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or Twitter. @GallantSays, up next, the Astros lost. Is the season over? This home stretch was a failure, that's for damn sure. We'll talk about that and more. Stick around.